Unique yet common sense opinions on sports. This is Jeff Allen Sports Talk.
All right, it is my pleasure to have on the show today one of the greatest of all time in sports talk radio, whom I had the pleasure of being his producer during his Orlando days at WKIS. We welcome the Hall of Famer, Christopher Mad Dog Russo. Chris, great to have you here, buddy.
Jeff, it's been forever. Folks, Jeff and I were together for 84, 85, those two-year period there back in the, we just began in talk radio at KIS, which was a great station at the time. And we did a lot of good things. Remember that time we went down to the AFC Championship game with the Patriots in Miami?
Oh, yeah, the road trip.
When the Patriots beat them. You know, we were at, you know, in Irving Fryer with the stabbing himself and all that nonsense.
Yep.
at the Key Biscayne out there at that beautiful Key Biscayne Hotel with Billy Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had Costas on. You remember that? We had Costas on.
Yep.
So Jeff and I go back a long time. It's good to be back with him here now. Good to see him.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, it's great. In fact, you came to WKIS by way of WOKV in Jacksonville. You were doing sports talk and ad sales, and you certainly were familiar with Orlando being a Rollins College graduate. And I know that path was paved by Larry Kahn, who I know has said so much what he meant for your career in bringing you to WKIS.
100%. Larry and I went to college together, Rollins, in Winter Park. He graduated one term before I did, but I was in Jacksonville, and Larry was producing for Gene Burns at KIS, and I needed a life raft to get out of OKV at the time, based on what you just said, selling and trying to do some sports talk. I knew Bob Wenzel pretty well, who I have on here a lot during the NCAA tournament, who, of course, coach at Jacksonville University. And Larry brought me to Orlando. I did a show on a Sunday night, 2 hours. You were not there for that. 8 to 10 in March. No calls. Talk for 2 hours. Jim Phillips, of course, was the news director. And they called me and they hired me. And it was the first job that I ever had where I didn't have to sell. I was just an on-air personality. I was on radio without having to sell for my supper. I was just doing talk shows. And that was March of 84. And Jim Phillips, who I just spoke to about a year ago, because we did a little tribute thing when I got in the Hall of Fame, we put a lot of people on our radio show up here at Sirius. And Jim called and came on. And boy, did I love Jim. You loved him too. He was great. Retired a couple of years ago, but, that crew, Lynn Levine, Jim Phillips, Bob Christopher, the late Mike Geyer, Larry, Gene Burns. That was
Clive Thomas would be another one.
Yeah. Clive Thomas.
Yep. Wayne Trout.
Wayne Thomas, too. You remember Wayne who passed away?
Yeah.
We had a hell of a crew. That was a great station for about a 10, 12-year period. Before I got there, after I left, that was a big-time station. In Orlando, you know that better than anybody, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it definitely was a juggernaut. And of course, I want to go through some of the highlights of your days at WKIS. And the first one that always comes to mind with me was you basically dropped a nuclear bomb on the audience because we were in the heart of Dolphins country and you had to proclaim that Don Shula was overrated.
Did I say that? Was that a big one?
That was a big one.
we were a good point about Dolphin territory. People don't realize that Orlando really is more of an AFC Dolphin town in that day period than now. The Bucks were bad and everything else. And they had the USFL, but they go back to the early 70s Dolphins, which of course won two Super Bowls in a row. And you're right. I did used to say that about Shula. Not great. He won the two championships. He lost the two. He probably should have won in 64 against Cleveland, lost the Jet game, which was a terrible loss with Namath. But that was a big one. I had two and three, and that was 24, 25 years. This is 40 years ago now. But that was one I had forgotten, Jeff. And people used to call about that all the time.
That was a lightning rod.
That was a lightning rod.
That one and
the NASCAR thing.
Yes.
The NASCAR thing was another one. Race car drivers are not athletes.
Yep.
I did that a lot. I knew that was a lightning rod. That's the second one that I did. But we had a good audience because, Central Florida is sort of a melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot of the, Northerners who lived there, other parts of the country lived there, and they wanted a good sports show. And so 6 to 8, Monday through Friday, we gave them that. And, you know, we could appeal to a lot of teams, a lot of fans as teams, which I think helped us to a certain degree. Yeah. I remember one time before the championship game, when Duke played Louisville at 6 o'clock starting the show, we had Larry Brown on.
Yes.
Because Larry had lost in the semis to Duke, and Mark Freidinger was his assistant. And Freidinger was with me when I was at Rollins in the late 70s. And Freidinger got us Larry at 6 o'clock. I remember that. I remember another time you and I went to Tinker Field for an old-timers baseball weekend.
Yes.
Remember that? We had Brooks Robinson, Lou Brock, Ralph Houk. I remember that. The aforementioned trip to Florida for the Dolphins and the Patriots. Remember that. I'm trying to think of a few others that we went to and did remote shows from. We didn't do a lot of them because we were a small little station. You know, it was sports talk, 6 to 8, Orlando, Florida. But we did some of those special shows we had a lot of fun with.
Yeah, and of course, you mentioned the USFL. We had the Renegades for the one season. Of course, we did the coaches show with Corso, Charlie Steakhouse.
Charlie Steakhouse back, and also Thompson's Fish House and Tavern.
Yes.
We used to go there a lot to do Wade Boggs. You know when he had that chicken book? We did a lot. That's right. And we did the Lee show every Monday during the season from Charlie Steakhouse. Down on, what's the name of the boulevard again?
That was OBT. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
I remember that. Did that. And you were with me the whole time, huh? Was it the whole 2 years?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm trying to think what else. Well, what are the famous things that we do?
Well, I'll give you.
I remember when Bobby Knight came to town one time for that great speech,
mm-hmm.
We went and did Bobby Knight, and I taped an interview with Bobby Knight and played it back on his. We did a lot of those things to try to give the Central Florida audience a little big time, quote unquote, feel.
I have a couple of examples, too, of that because, you know, at the time we had NBA Commissioner David Stern on the show. And that was really before the smoldering started, before Jimmy Hewitt teamed up with Pat Williams to get the Magic franchise. And I remember David Stern asking me when I got him on the phone, so how do you think the NBA will do in Orlando? And of course, you know, this is back in the Laker-Celtic days, and it's like, I love the NBA. It's it'd be awesome.
I remember that very well because he was doing that was typical Stern. He had just started. And I remember that very well. And then after they took us off the air, I went, because Bob Poe wanted to be involved in the NBA, I went to the meetings in which Orlando got a team. It was in Phoenix, Arizona. Barry Cooper was there. Remember Barry Cooper?
Yep.
Orlando Sentinel. And I did some special shows out there, and Stern came on. And I had that weird contraption where I had to get the show on the air and everything else. I didn't have a guy like you to, you know, do all the dirty work and do all that kind of work. And I did that, and Stern came on then. But I remember he did come on a couple of occasions prior to that. Kurt Rambis came on when Kareem set the scoring record against the Utah Jazz in Vegas. Didn't we have Rambis on to celebrate the great Kareem?
We
I
did.
I remember that.
And I wanted to tell this story too, because I wanted to reflect on what kind of a person you are, because, you know, when you were part of the Orlando Renegades broadcast team, you had worked so hard to get an interview with Kareem, and he was scheduled, but it was the night you guys had to be out for a game. And, you know, you were 24 at the time, I'm 20, so we're both young guys, you know, cutting our teeth in the business, right? And you very well could have rescheduled the interview, but you let me do it. And
did I really?
Yes.
Wow.
And it may have
20 years of age, you're interviewing Kareem. That's pretty freaking
yeah.
good. Boy.
It may have been the worst interview of all time. I think the tapes are burned, but but yeah. I did get one nugget out of him, because this was like the first time he talked retirement. And I asked him, so you're absolutely for sure done. And he played 4 more years after saying he was done.
So he did, yeah. I remember I had Kareem in here once for a half hour. Hardest interview I ever did, because as you know, Kareem, he doesn't suffer any fools. So that was tricky with Kareem when he came in. I thought we did as good a job as we possibly could do without having a team Orlando. This is before the Magic.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is 84, 85. Magic got there, what, 87, 88, right around that period?
88, 89, yeah.
So I was gone. I'm not even sure where you went. I was gone. is I left in March of 87, so about a year beforehand. So from that perspective, we didn't get a chance to cover a team that was our team on a week-to-week basis. A little Renegades, although they were bad, and a little Central Florida with Gene McDowell, if you remember correctly.
Yep, if you were on the broadcast team for that, too.
Yeah, we did some. I did the games with Steve Rubin. Wasn't he the play-by-play?
Steve Rubin, yep. Yep, he was
Steve
the
play-by-play. Yeah. Yep. So we had, and then we had, and then I remember we had Charlie, you remember we had, what was the morning guys? Yeah, Charlie Vaughn, what was his name again? Oh, Frank Vaughn.
Frank Vaughn, yeah.
And I remember Frank got all upset because they wouldn't put Frank on the game broadcast. So he did that. He played that commentary by somebody from AP and just stuck it on the air at 8:52 in the morning, killing the USFL. And they either suspended Frank or fired him. Do you remember that?
So that would have been, I don't remember if it was suspension 86. Or fire, but that was, because he was there. He was the morning guy, sports guy before John Anthony was.
Oh, way before. Yeah. And then, Frank had, he was old when I was there in the mid 80s.
Yeah.
And then Anthony came after, you remember that? Hey, John came, though, after you and I stopped doing Daily Sports Talk.
Yes, right around that time, yes.
Right around that time. Because, yep. Folks, in case you didn't realize it, they took us off to hire Bev Smith from Miami, and they took us off the air. I'm going to guess that was probably mid-86, maybe?
Yeah, mid-86. I had to board off her show. And I was miserable.
He was on 7 to Midnight, right? To Midnight?
Yes.
And George Hampton, George Curcio.
Yes.
Son of a great phone caller.
Yep.
Was the host after me. And they moved me to weekends, which is no man's land. And they fired George to bring Bev Smith in.
Yeah.
And that was, as you said, 85. Right about 86.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned George, and of course, his dad, who was infamously known as El Negativo.
He was a good caller for us.
Yes.
Good caller.
Yeah.
An old Brooklyn Dodger fan.
Yes. Yeah. He brought his A game, and
all the time.
Yeah.
He used to drive Gene Burns crazy. Remember, drive Gene Burns crazy?
Yes.
You were 4 years younger, so. When I got to Orlando in 84, I was 24, so you were 20.
Yep.
Were you there at the station before I got hired?
Yes, I was. I was there. I started in 83.
So about a year before.
Yeah, I interned there and then got a job out of it.
All right. And so when I came in, they just put you with me? Is that what they did?
Yeah. So at the time, Bud Brewer used to do the sports talk show. And then after Bud, it was Buddy Pittman, who was local TV anchor.
The Channel 4 guy. I remember that.
Yep. And in fact, I think when, Buddy was great at NASCAR.
But he wasn't good with the other sports.
He wasn't good with the other sports. Yeah.
I was lousy with NASCAR, but good with the other sports.
There you go.
But you and I learned how to do it together. We worked together to put together a good show.
Yes.
2 hours a night.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And one of my favorite things we used to do, we would take the red book and the green book, and on off days for players, we were play dialing for dollars and trying to, we landed several MLB players.
We did. I remember one time, when it was a big NFL story, you tracked down Will McDonough.
Yeah.
In the East Coast of Florida, and he came on. He was so shocked that somehow we got his number that he gave us a good 50-minute interview.
Yeah.
Well, we did a lot of those. We did some authors. We did the books. I know one time we did a trivia contest in which they had to stump me. We gave away some prizes.
Yes.
We also went to Manny's Ford across the street and did some shows there occasionally, if you remember that. Manny Messinger.
Yep.
I thought really it was my first real job doing daily sports talk, and I needed somebody who had the legwork of A, the station, and B, the area, and you had, who was also young, wasn't set in his ways, and you had both ingredients.
Yeah.
You really did.
Yeah. Well, we both hustled.
We're the perfect combination to start our careers.
Yes. And I learned so much from you, even though you weren't all that much older than me. I learned such a great deal that helped me out throughout my radio career when I finally finished up in the mid-90s. So, the player interviews were fun because I always remember my favorite one was, of course, being a Braves fan. We got Dale Murphy on. And, like, the first couple of times Dale turned us
down. Nice guy in the world. He's a nice guy, Murphy,
yes,
but go ahead.
But he turned us down because he's like, you know, I don't know what made Orlando wants to hear from me. And then so, like, the third time I got him, I think he figured, okay, this guy's not going to stop calling me. And so I got him on. And then you did such a great interview with him that, you know, when I picked up the phone to, you know, thank him for being on, he was, like, all energetic and all that. And it's like, oh, man, thanks for having me on. That was really awesome.
So, nicest guy. I remember we tracked down Frank Robinson once when he got the Giants. Bob Lurie of the Giant owner once. Yeah, we played that phone book thing. Well, now you can't do that nearly as well as you could then.
No.
I remember on a Monday night before Ewing played Olajuwon in the college, that would be in Seattle, and that would have been in 84, the championship game. We had Billy Packer to start the show, Ewing against Olajuwon. I don't know if you remember that,
but
he started the show. I'm not sure what we did the next year at the Villanova Georgetown game, which was the greatest game of. It was such an incredible game at Villanova Georgetown.
Yes.
You know, the next year when they played in the title game, but we did a very good job of the big event, capitalizing on the stories in the big event. And for you and me, Orlando, Florida. Now we were the Dolphin station, but for you and me to go down to Miami. I'm going to venture. We did two shows there live. I don't think we did the whole week.
We did Thursday, Friday, I think.
Thursday, Friday. That's what I think. So good job, Jeff. I think you're right. But for you and I to do two shows in Miami, young kids going down to cover Dolphins, Patriots in the AFC Championship game in 85, that takes some guts to do that. We drove down in your car, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it was your car. You drove.
It was my Honda Civic.
Yes.
It was my Honda. We drove down here together and did the two shows, which is really, and think about it, 24-year-old kid doing Dolphins and freaking Patriots. And we did it from the Patriot Hotel, so we got a lot of guys on. I remember we had Rod Rust on. We had Billy Sullivan on. We had a lot of good people on.
Dante Scarnecchia.
And we also had Ray Berry on, who was the head coach.
Yes. Yeah.
You did a good job at that. I remember that.
Yeah. No, that was those are so many memories. I could do an all day on it.
I really do. It's coming back to me now that I'm thinking of it.
So after Orlando, of course, you went back to New York, and I know you were doing some part-time stuff at WMCA, and I still have a copy of this. You had gotten a letter from Marv Albert. Complimenting you on really knowing your stuff and what a great job you did. And you sent a copy down to me.
Jeff?
Yeah. By the old fashioned mail service.
When I got a job at WMCA, Rick Sklar hired me, and Sklar was the first guy. He was a consultant, and he was the first guy to put Cosell on the air in the mid 60s during his ABC sports reports and promoted the first Beatles concert at Shea in 1965.
Mm.
And Sklar, they got 54 applicants. You might remember when I went up to New York to do 4 or 5 days, or I had to do an audition.
Mm-hmm.
I went up there in February of 87. That's what it was, to do 4 or 5 days. I did some sports talk. I did sports updates. And I came back to Orlando, and he hired me about 2 weeks later on, you know, 2 weeks, called me up, tripled my salary. And I went up to New York, and I started there at MCA. I did sports talk on Saturday and Sundays, and I did weekday sports Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They paid me $54,000 a year. I was making $18,000 at WKIS. And either that summer, I did Saturday, I did sports between 5 and 8, Saturday and Sunday. I did sports talk. Updates during the week, sports talk on weekends. And one, I would do the normal show on a Saturday and Sunday. And Marv did the pregame with the baseball for NBC and wrote me a letter that summer saying how much he got a kick out of me doing a sports show because he's driving back and forth from Rockefeller Center, flipping around a radio dial, and there's me on WMCA. So that was important. But I got the job at MCA from WKIS. And then 2 years later, I went to FAN. So I was fortunate. So think about it for a minute. I was with you, 84, 85 and 86. Now, the last 6 months, they move me to weekends. And then 2.5 years later, I'm doing afternoon drive on FAN in February. As I started there, Labor Day weekend of 89.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 years, 3 years before that, I'm with you. And then 2 years later, fired. I somehow was on Monday through Friday on a 50,000-watt station, 3 to 7 on WFAN.
Yeah.
Imus had just gotten there. That's very lucky. That is very, very lucky. So that process was a pretty quick process for me.
Yeah, so, you know, because you became the sports reporter on Imus, you know.
When I first got to FAN in 88, Imus got a kick out of me. And so Imus put me on during the morning sports January, that's first half of the 1989 year.
Mm-hmm.
So January, February, March, April, I did the morning sports for him. And that's when Pete Franklin had a contract holdout. And FAN's management said, why are we hiring Pete Franklin? We'll put Mike Francesa. We got him sitting here. We got this goof guy over here doing this, Russo. Let's put them together and see what we have. So Imus was very, very significant in getting me that next step. And then, of course, the FAN management had an issue with Franklin, and they put me and Mike on the air together in September of 89, and I did 19 years of shows with Mike, which is an incredible long time.
Yeah, sure was. And, of course, you know, you guys became the standard that sports talk shows were measured against. You know, I mean, that's got to be an amazing accomplishment in your career.
Well, Jeff, think about it for a minute. We were the first station to do all sports, you know, and Adam, you know, I missed it more sports than you think. And Mike and me were the first duo doing it. Most of the hosts prior to Mike and me, Eddie Andelman, Eskin in Philly, me in Orlando, were solo spots. And they did the shows after PM Drive, 6 to 10. 6 to 9, that time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and I were the first ones to do sports talk middle of the afternoon because there was no sports talk radio formats. There were very few two-man teams. Nobody wanted to pay for two guys. They wanted to pay for the one guy, not the two hosts.
Mm-hmm.
And they put us on, well, originally, the first time we were on at 3, and then as it moved along after all that time, we came on at 1. But they put us on 3 to 7, and then it was eventually 1 to 6:30. So we were doing afternoon sports talk, afternoon drive on an all sports station. But that was the first time that had ever been done. That is where we get the credit,
yeah.
Because we got ratings. We got ratings, so that's where we got the credit.
Yeah.
But I was there for 19 years, so that's a long time. So that's part of it too. You got to stay on the air. Stay on the air.
Yeah, that certainly helps, and of course. There's obviously, you know, they put you guys together, and so whoever made that decision was genius, right? For pairing
Mark,
you guys
Mark
up,
Mason. Yep. Mark Mason.
So you look at that, and then you know, what other things do you think were the secret sauce for you guys having the success that you had?
I think that Mike is a lot funnier than people thought he was. You know, he was encyclopedic. He came from the Brent Musburger School. He worked at CBS Research Department. He's 5 years older than I am, 6 years older. He just turned 70, and I'm 64. So 6 years older. He had been working for CBS essentially since 1982. So you have that element of him. And he was he knew everything. Had a lot of experience, did all the football, traveled on the road, and the whole thing with, you know, him and Nance were buddies, Nance just starting. And me, on the other hand, was a radio guy. Jacksonville, with you in Orlando, MCA, Imus. So I didn't have the experience with the teams and network television as Mike did. I had the experience of doing a radio show. And how to pace it and do all those kinds of things. So they thought, and I was much smarter than people. I knew a lot more about sports than people thought. And Mike was funnier than people thought. Knew sports wasn't funny, no personality. Russo's a nutcase, but knows nothing about sports. And in essence, it was really kind of, in a lot of ways, we all knew he was great with sports, but he had a personality, and he all knew that I was nutcase and I knew sports. So he put that all together, and you know, we were on the air for so long, and we had our ups and downs, don't get me wrong. But when you're on the air for 19 years on a station that is sort of the first of its kind with a legendary morning man in Imus, who, you know, kind of liked to get me and Mike and get in the middle of it and cause fights and all that, you know, you were going to have a, and we had the Mets, and you know, who was successful. The Giants won the 90s Super Bowl. The Knicks had Riley. The Rangers won a Stanley Cup. Then Torrey comes in 96 and the Yankees win four championships. To be a good sports talk show, you need some good teams in your town. So we had two Giants. Well, I got there right after 86. They had just won. That's the reason why FAN became a sports station, because in 86, the Mets won and the Giants won. And there became a theory in New York where you got to do sports. Look, you got two winning teams. And that is why, when I came to New York that first year, when I came for that audition that I was referring to, there were five sports talk shows during drive time at night in New York. NAW, ABC, so many of them. And they realized with the teams doing well, it could handle the fan base was going to have an outlet to talk sports. And that's where me and Mike came in. We're both New Yorkers, too. We followed Pete, who wasn't from New York. He was a little irascible. They did not connect with the New York fan while Mike and I did. And we hit it at the perfect time. I mean, think about it. 89, we start in March of 89, in September of 89. The Knicks win in 91. The Yankees, you know, 5 years later win four championships. The Rangers get Messier, win the first Stanley Cup in 50 years. The Knicks hire Riley, gives them four great years. Finals game seven, Houston. I mean, the Mets are always, they were bad, but sometimes that's even good to have a team that stinks. The Jets, same thing goes for them. You don't want them all good. You want some bad teams too, so you can kill them all day. So we had the perfect situation. Really did in New York, Mike and me.
And of course, you know, you've been with SiriusXM since what, 2008? So you've almost been at SiriusXM as long as you were at the Fan. That's pretty mind-boggling. Where does the time go?
Yeah, I got to Sirius in summer of 08. So this is my, theoretically, my, you know, so 2016 years. I was at FAN for 19 years. You know, that is, that I remember when I did a press conference when I came to Sirius that year in 08, I said I kind of look at Sirius as the back nine of my career. Front nine was FAN, and the back nine was Sirius. But I only got three more holes. I only got a couple more holes to go, though, because of the fact that I've been here for so many years doing sports talk. Different type of sports talk here, Jeff. A little bit more of a national flavor, more college football. Not as many commercials. They leave you completely alone. You know, at FAN, you had to do a lot of the New York teams. Here, you don't have to do a bit of the New York teams. You can do what you want, whatever tickles your fancy. Now, you don't have a hometown team. So on those slow days when you're at FAN, you wanted to talk about why so-and-so didn't pinch hit in the eighth inning, you could do 5 hours of it. You can't do that at Sirius for 5 hours because you got fans all over the place and not everybody cares about what the Mets did in the bottom of the eighth inning. So you try to find topics that everybody can gravitate to. And that topic that everybody can gravitate to essentially is NFL football. Mm-hmm. Everybody cares about everybody else's team in NFL football. And so, you know, people are going to care about why the Falcons drafted Michael Penix. They care about that. Yeah. You know, in baseball, the NBA, they don't care about that. But they do care about it here. So as a result of that, you have to learn how to handle that. You got to learn how to handle the fact that, there's sometimes the corner's going to be a little lower. You're not going to have that full bank of calls. Shows are longer because, again, there's no commercials. So you have to learn how to handle that. Once you get the knack of it, though, if you know how to do radio, you're okay. I would not come to Sirius unless you already had some kind of following. Coming to Sirius, well, I got a job at Sirius, they're going to put me on here. You're going to be buried because there's 119, there's a million channels, there's 119 channels. You know, you can get lost at Sirius unless you have a ready-made audience who wants to follow you to Sirius from somewhere else. That's what Stern had. Fortunately, that's what I a little had when I came over from FAN.
Yeah, I was a subscriber starting in 2004. Got it mostly Good because start. Of the NFL, you know, yeah,
and the NFL.
And then I used to listen to the late great Jay Thomas. When he was there.
You were always a good radio guy, though. You always loved the radio. You were good at it.
You're very kind to say that.
Well, you were. So you let's do a little bit of you now. So you you got out of the radio business in the mid-90s?
Yeah. So after they moved your show to the weekends, I went over to WFLA to work for Mike Geyer, doing a morning show board op, and occasionally would produce Ted Webb's sports talk show.
I remember Teddy Webb.
Yeah, Teddy was a good dude.
He was boisterous. He was loud, Ted Webb.
He very funny guy too. So then I kind of got homesick for Orlando. So then I came back. I ended up being a DJ at WOKB, which is Urban Contemporary.
Oh, very good. Yeah, sure.
George Hampton actually joined me over there. He started doing a weekend shift over there, and I was I did evenings, then eventually graduated up to a program director. And
wow, look at that
and whatnot. And then after we were sold, I went to WGTO, which was a 50,000 watt station out of the Cypress Gardens area that they moved the studios to Orlando. Started off as an oldie station. About a year and a half in, they weren't making any money. They couldn't sell any advertising, so you knew something was going to change. So we ended up evolving into a news and talk sports format. And again, I would eventually become the program director.
This is in the mid-90s. This is in 93,
yep.
94.
This is 92. So I started there in 90. 92, we changed the format. I did a few years of that. And, in fact, that was the last time I talked to you because I used to do a show before the Gators broadcast. And I think it was 92 when they were ranked 1-2, and I got a quick recording from you to do a prediction on the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow, I got a bunch of I hustled up a bunch of different people, you know, local and national, just kind of make some predictions on that.
I think I remember that.
Yeah.
So you did that to the mid 90s. Go ahead.
Yeah. So and that was after KIS. That was probably the best gig I had. It was phenomenal. There were just a handful of guys. I mean, we had a very small staff, standalone AM radio station, but we hustled and we just, we brought, Clive Thomas over from, after he lost his job and stuff like that, Ed Hartley, people like that. And then we got bought by Paxson, which is now eventually is what evolved into iHeart. I was originally let go. Then they brought me back part time to produce the morning sports show. I stayed there about a year and a half and kind of said, "Yeah, I think the radio thing isn't going to be what I want to do full time anymore." So I got out.
Hey, you got to be in the right place. So yeah. So everybody, Clive's passed away, right?
I think Clive's still with us. I think.
Oh, really?
I think so.
How about Ted Webb?
Teddy passed away a few years ago.
All right. Gene, we know Burns passed away.
Yep.
Geyer passed away.
Yep.
Bob Poe.
I believe Bob Poe's still around.
He is. Okay. Jim Phillips is still around.
Yep.
Bob Christopher still around.
Last I heard, I think so. I know he was in New Orleans.
Yeah. Anyway, then he went to KTAR out in Phoenix. He had a good job in Phoenix.
Yeah.
As a news director. That Central Florida, we had a lot of guys who were very successful.
Yes.
I mean, Burns was great. Bob Christopher was great. We had a lot of guys. Clive was an excellent host. We had a lot of people who had good. Jim Phillips was on the air forever after, he went from the news director. We had that was a good group of people we had there. That was a solid group of professional people.
It's like the 27 Yankees, right?
I don't go crazy, but the Orlando thing, you got to remember for Orlando, for me, that was fun. And Joe, folks, Jeff had his hair, he had long, buffy hair back with
the perm,
back
yes.
day. With a mustache. Didn't you also have a good tee or a mustache?
Yeah.
Anyway, Back in those days, I went to college in Orlando, so I had the college in Orlando and the early radio experience in Orlando. So I loved Orlando in those days. I really did.
Yeah, it was a real lot of fun. So a couple of things I wanted to ask you before we draw this to a conclusion. Like again, I could do this all day, but I know you got a show to do. So what was it like being on David Letterman? And I've only asked one other person this, and that was Jerry Seinfeld. And that was at a bar at a comedy club before his TV show.
Oh, okay. That's a long time ago. I did Letterman 37 times. The first time I was on with Dave was in February of 91. Wow. First time. And the last time I was on with Dave was 3 weeks before he said goodbye. I was his last sports guest. And that would have been 2013, Eddie, I believe. He's been gone that long? I think it has been. Maybe it's later than that, but whatever, it must be later than that. But I was the last. I got to look at his calendar. You can look at it. We can figure that out. But and Dave, we did a tribute show last year, and Dave came on at 5:05. And it's hard to get Dave on to do anything, and Eddie got him on at 5:05. Letterman, I'll give you a little story about Letterman. One time, I was promoting a book in 03, and I got bumped because he was with Courtney Love. And he, you know, she was the spot before me. I was the last spot of the day before the musical band. So I used to come on about 12:28 Eastern time. And Courtney Love, I got bumped. All right, one of those days, you know, he took Courtney Love longer than he thought. No problem. I come back, I don't know, about a month later, and he had an infatuation with Demi Moore. So I got bumped again. I didn't have a problem. I know my agent did. I didn't have any problem with it. I was driving to work. Remember, FAN is in Astoria, Queens, no train. So I had to drive to work from New Canaan, Connecticut. I driving to work, and I get a call. And it calls from Dave. Home, it calls my cell phone. Chris, I totally apologize. Terrible job on my part. I promise to never happen again. And if you bless me and come on, I'll make sure I take care of you. Dave, what are you, crazy? Anytime, any place. So I went on. This is in 03. I had already been on for 12 years. So every time from that period onward, he put me as the second spot and gave me two segments.
Oh, nice.
How about that? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And so I did that. What year did he retire? 15. So 2015, I'd have to look at the exact date. I believe it was the third last. I'd have to look at when I came on, but I remember I was the last sports guest. Remember, Marv Albert disfavored because of the whole thing with Marv's issues. So I kind of took that role from Marv. But I was always a little nervous. You never knew what he was going to throw at you. And I kind of looked at the Dave thing. Okay, he has me on here for 12 minutes. There's a break after 6 or 7. And my job is to make his life a little easier. Throw me something, and I'll carry it for a couple minutes so he can sit back and then have to work his rear end off trying to get something out of the guest. And then if I do something nutty, he can react to it.
Yes.
Now, I remember the one time we had prepared, you know, you got a lot of producers, and so they tell you what they want you to talk about. So we did it, you know, a day and a half of preparation, and then it calls, you know, they call you on stage, you go on stage, and all Dave wanted to talk about was Jerry Sandusky at Penn State.
Oh.
Really, Dave? It's that kind of stuff that you got to do. But I loved him. He was very good to me. You know, I didn't know him personally. It wasn't like we went out or anything. It's hard to get to know Dave. But if you think about the three people that had a lot to do with my career, Imus, Stern, and David, all very different in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
All different. But 37 times. And I was always nervous. The show was taped at 4:30 and 5:30 in the afternoon. I'd walk over there. I'd get there 45 minutes beforehand. I was wearing a suit, outfit, always very nervous when he called you. I guess you had to do a good job for him.
Yeah.
But I did that 37 of them. That's a lot. You know, 20, whatever it was, 91 to 15, 24 years I was on 37 times.
Yeah, well, I guess you did a good job there then.
A couple times a year. Not a couple times a year.
Yeah. So having been in the business as long as you have, what do you like about sports talk radio today, and what do you dislike about sports talk radio today?
The dislike part is a little easier. They don't listen to sports talk today like they did in the old days. There's so many other things that grab people's attention. There's so many other shows. So they kind of listen to you in snippets. Little here, little there, little here, little there. That you don't have that audience like in the old days where there was nothing else to listen to. And they had you for 2 hours on a specific drive home, whatever that might be, they would be on top of it. Now, they kind of don't listen to you at the time that you're on. They listen to it on the app. They listen to it. They tape it, listen to it. There's a lot of different ways. So that audience there at, say, 3 o'clock all the way throughout the day, it's not the same audience. It drifts. So you don't know. That makes it a little stranger because, again, it's all about the clips, how you can get clicks on that TV. So you put out a click, you put out a little segment, and, you know, you see how many people follow that segment. Well, they may not hear the whole entirety of the show. In the old days, they did. Nowadays, they don't. So it's almost like you're doing a greatest hit show for them on an everyday basis. The thing I do like about it is that, especially now, most of the young sports talk show hosts and most people who do this for a living, they center it on football. And I don't. You know, they spend hour upon it. You know, McAfee, you name it, anybody. They spend hours and weeks on the draft. I'll do the draft, but, you know, once the draft is over, I'm not leading with it today. It's over. It's football. It's over. And so most of you guys who are on here today, they center on NFL and some college football. I still try to do a show to appeal to all the fans, a hockey fan, the NBA fan, the college basketball fan, the Masters golf fan, the majors in golf. So I will always do things that interest me, and that's the wide range of sports. And that is something I still enjoy doing because they're not getting that anywhere else. I'll give them, you know, for the a perfect example would be the NCAA tournament. I must have given them 20 spots. You know, I did two straight days of it on the first 2 days with Wenzel, the aforementioned coach of Jacksonville. We flew him up here. He does Monday, Thursday, and Friday with me. He sits in the audience in the studio, and we watch the games together. And we comment on all those eight games in the afternoon sessions on the Thursday and Friday. So I enjoy the idea that I can still do things that I know everybody else out there in sports talk land is not doing. And to me, that sets us apart a little bit, that they know when there is something that is important that is not football related, I will cover it, you know?
Awesome.
Phoenix, the Suns stink. What do you do next? Today they're doing, you know, they're doing Belichick and they're doing the draft and Michael Penix. I do some of that, but I like to branch off. And the fact that I can do that at Sirius and still do that effectively is a plus.
All right. So you have interviewed countless people. Is there anybody that you haven't interviewed that you would love to interview?
Yeah, I've never interviewed Nick Saban.
Okay.
I love Saban. I always kill Eddie all the time. Where's Nick? Now that he's, of course, at ESPN, I'll probably be able to get him on before the season came on. But I wanted to talk to him when he was at Alabama. I used to interview Belichick all the time, but I haven't interviewed Belichick in 25 years. I'd love to get into a situation, Belichick, where we, you know, just talk football and talk about his coaching and have him be honest, you know, and tell us about this and that and Bledsoe and Brady and Malcolm Butler. And that I'd like to do. That's a good one. Those two. Who else would I? Those two are specifically Popovich. Love to talk to Pop.
Okay.
Won 5 titles. He'd been coaching for such a long period of time. Never have had Pop on. Never once have had Popovich. That's what I like. The guys who've been in their field for a long time with a lot of success, where I can get something out of them, preferably in studio, not on a phone for 8 minutes. In studio, if it has to be the off season, so be it. You get them sitting down with you for an hour, you can get a lot out of them. Those three are three that I can think of, top of my head, in sports.
Okay. So if I'm to believe Wikipedia, you were married in 1995?
95, yep, that is accurate.
Well,
still married, 29 yeah. years.
Well, guess what?
Four kids. Same with you?
Yeah, probably just a few days after you.
What date?
The 11th.
May 6th for me. How about that?
Yeah.
May 11th would have been a Thursday night.
See, in 1995, I think it was a Saturday.
Oh, 95.
It's Saturday.
May 6th of 95 was a Saturday.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. You have kids, Jeff?
No children. Just the four-legged kind. Got three
that's
cats.
That's good. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
It's easier that way. And less expensive. But my oldest is coaching the Northern Arizona Division I Hoops.
Yes.
Big Sky Conference. He's a third assistant, so I really got into that all season long.
Oh, yeah.
That stinks, but I got into it totally.
Well, that is awesome. Well, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this opportunity to catch up.
It.
Yeah.
Great to talk to you. Good to see you again.
Yeah, great to see you as well.
Thanks for listening to Jeff Allen Sports Talk. Follow Jeff on Twitter at JeffAllen_88, on Facebook at JeffAllen88, and the website JeffAllenSportsTalk.com. And you can reach out to the show anytime by email, JeffAllenSportsTalk@gmail.com. Jeff Allen Sports Talk is brought to you exclusively by Kramer's Salve for Dogs.
Does your dog itch, suffer from debilitating skin allergies, or trouble hot spots? We have the solution using the healing power of neem. Kramer's Salve is a safe and natural approach to help your best friend live an itch-free life. Go to KramerSalve.net to order today with new low pricing. That's KramerSalve.net.